First thing tonight, I want to thank you folks for the wonderful music. It was glorious. And I haven't ever said that before, but it was very, very wonderful. Thank you for your support during so many years. In a few minutes, I'll look back at all of you. I like to make contact when I talk and when I preach. Billy Mary Horton, we thank you for your support from Northern Brazil. And we want you to know that, this was 45 years ago when we went to the field. But our two sons are serving as missionaries today, and our daughter is living in Arlington, Texas, and is faithful in the Pleasant View Baptist Church. And Mary and I are grateful that I can be here tonight, and I'm thankful that she's there with my daughter in Arlington, Texas. We're from the Pleasant View Baptist Church of Arlington, Texas. Our pastor, Brother Jimmy McNeil, his wife, Susan, and God burdened us and sent us, and our church sent us to the country of Brazil to work in the northern part in the rainforest area of northern Brazil. And 3 miles from our house, we are in the rainforest itself. But in Belém, or Bethlehem, the capital city, it's a great metropolis of that city and many others on the east side of it. And this city is growing by leaps and bounds. It's 3 million people right now, and is growing, seem like, every month. You can't go anywhere very fast in that city with 3 million people, but only one four-lane going in and coming out. And we just pray that God will use us more and more. And it may take us a while to get places, but we're going. And we have all the places to eat and shopping centers. And we have McDonald's and other fast food places like that. But, of course, a lot of people like their, you know, things that you can get in the jungle. Like, this is woodworms, or turu, we call them there. And they're really pretty good. But we didn't go there for these reasons. We went there to share the gospel with people. The very first family that came to know Christ as their personal Savior, this man's daughter was the very first one. Even today, Antonio and his wife Clarice are still serving the Lord. They have 5 children that are in the ministry in Brazil. And God gave us 2 wonderful daughter-in-laws from this family. One of their sons is pastoring the very first church we started, the Calvary Baptist Church, in a city called Vigia, the state of Pará. We went there to plant churches. This is one of the churches we started. It's called the Bible Baptist Church, but they call their building the Temple Baptist Church. And Brother Juscelino and his wife Eginaí, he's the pastor of that church. Another church that was planted there was the First Baptist Church in a city called Pau d'Arco. Brother José Moraes and his wife Elma, he is the pastor of that work. He was ordained just recently, and God is using that man in that church. People are being saved. They have their own charter now. When I go back to visit that church, and I like to, but I do not preach and I do not pray out loud unless I'm invited to. And one of the other men that's recently has been ordained, Pastor Raimundo, and he has pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in a city called Santa Isabel. And today he's been called a couple of years ago to pastor a church in another state. Pastor Josias is pastoring the Faith Baptist Church in a city called Coconut Town, or Coqueiro, as we said in Portuguese. Churches are growing, and ministries beside those are being started. We have missions going out of our church, and we support other missionaries. Our pastor Alexandre Dutra and his family are reaching Jewish people in several cities. Their work right now is in São Paulo. Pastor Raul Brazão and his wife, he is He is Banewa Indian. She is Kurupaka. And I'm not sure which tribe their children are there now. But he goes up the rivers above in a city called, in an area called the Upper Isana in the state of Amazonas. He has started two churches and a Bible Institute. And Brother Estelianus Souza has started a new church now less than 2 years ago in a city called Bajeta in our state, the state of Pará in northern Brazil. One of our seminary graduates, a young lady, she is a missionary out of the First Baptist Church in Pau d'Arco, is working with this family up there, reaching children and starting ladies' groups. And Pastor Damasceno, he's working in an area called Cruzeiro do Sul, Acre. Over there, pretty close to Peru. And he's doing a great job over there starting churches. For people to be trained, we started some 35 years ago the IBBN, or the Baptist Bible Institute of the North. One of our graduating classes recently, there are people being trained to go into the ministry and going into missions, and some of the ladies working in their own churches. And we've had a number of teachers in the past reaching these young people and reaching these that God has sent to our Bible Institute. And we thank God that He's preparing people for the gospel ministry. We're just teaching, but God is preparing people. Recently, we had to go to a different type of studies because at the present time, there are no teachers except him, this young man right there, Pablo Costa. So we went to a module type seminary where that people come in and teach for 2 weeks straight, and they teach a whole year's work in 2 weeks' time. Pastor Manuel Pereira was our very first Bible Institute graduate, and he pastors in the city called Santa Isabel and is teaching this next month in the Institute. And Pastor Robinson Marcelo is a missionary in a state called Goiás in the middle part of the country. He'll be teaching there in the month of June. And we started a statewide youth ministry about 22 years ago to encourage young people in the various churches to work in their churches and reaching young people. And we started with 25 people. Today, in our meetings every second Saturday of the month, we're having 150 and 200 young people from these different churches. One of the ministries that God allowed us to start was a Bible camp ministry. You talked about youth camp. We have camps there. And at nighttime, this was in our tabernacle that some churches in the States helped us to build there on that El Shalom Independent Baptist camp. We teach them to honor their country, to love their country, but to honor the Lord first and honor and serve the Lord as first and also as the center of their lives. They learn God's word. They go back to their towns and they serve the Lord. And we thank the Lord we have family camps. In the month of February, we have youth, adolescent, and children's camps in the summertime. About 19 years ago now, we started a Bible club ministry. My wife Mary and two seminary grads also, they started a Bible club ministry in the First Baptist Church of Pau d'Arco. And this has grown so much. In the first year, there were over 100 children saved. Many of the young people got to know the Lord also. Many of their families, I'm sorry. When we go back to Brazil early next year, we plan on continuing in the same work. We're going to be busy at first building the completion of our Bible Institute buildings. We do the work ourselves, young people and pastors also, and missionaries. And this work is growing. Some of the buildings are already completed, and we'll be starting to use these buildings not too long from now. Our main emphasis in our ministry, however, is not any of these. Those are ministries out of local churches. Our ministry in Brazil is planting churches like this one that was planted not too long ago. And I thank the Lord that churches are being planted not just by missionaries, but by Brazilian pastors and by Brazilian missionaries. We have missionaries that are planting churches from our churches there in Chile, and also one of our missionary families in Mozambique, Africa. Thank you for your support. Thank you. We know we have little time left, but in the time that God gives us, we want to work in Brazil, reaching people with the gospel. May God bless you. Would you open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, the work that matters most to God. And there is a work that matters most to God. It all started before the world began, the redemption of man. You that are saved were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God started this long before man was ever here, long before the worlds were ever here. He invested the blood of His Son, Jesus. And I have some questions for you tonight, and I hope to have some answers for you tonight. One of the questions that I want to ask you is, does what matters to God matter to you personally? I think we ought to consistently ask that question of ourselves, because so many Christians today, in so many of our churches, we see churches not closing their doors physically, but we see in many churches today Ichabod written over the doors, because the gospel is no longer being preached in many so-called churches today. But if what matters to God matters to you, does that make you just flitter inside? Does that make you happy about your future? Does that make you recognize that you have a job to do and a ministry to perform that God has for you, not just for your church as an ecclesiastical body, but as you as members of that church? Because sometimes we think that the work of a church is for the pastor, perhaps for the evangelist of that church, perhaps for the deacons of that church. But every one of us, I can see you doing that work. I've been to this church a number of times. I've been here when they're not having services. I realize that is happening in this church. But are you as an individual, are you realizing that God has a job for you to do today? Now, another question. Have you ever thought about what the Bible says about us needing to come to the services of our local church? Now, especially people in 2018, is very, very important to us. And you know, the Bible does tell us that it's very important for us to be in the services of our local church. I have never liked the phrase, "I'm going to church." Because we know that people are talking about going to the building, and the building is not the church. Amen? And so, but I love to talk about going to the service. I love to be in the services of the churches that God has allowed me to start and allowed us to build in Brazil. And we know that God is the one who has built them. But the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And he's talking about people that are saved as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Do you do that? Since so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, It's to prepare ourselves for what matters most to God. That's what we're doing in the services of a local church. Can I hear an amen on that? It is a business meeting preparing and asking God to prepare us for His business. Because He left us here in His orchard. He left us here in His field. He left us here in His work. And all the things that we do that we call work are secondary. Because God has given us the things that help us to live financially in this world. God has given these things to us, and He has given us our finances that we can be involved in His work. Amen on that? Because that's what we all need to be doing. Our very families God has given us not to be the number one thing in our lives. Understand what I'm saying. The Lord Jesus Christ, He needs to be the center of our lives. When He's the center of our life, our family's in exactly the right place. And our jobs are in exactly the right place. And you know, that's exactly what our services of our church are to prepare us for the work outside the doors of our church buildings. Now in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 6 through 8 would be my text tonight. When they therefore were come together, they ask of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what are we looking at right here? We're looking at God's providential working in people's lives. Now, God's Holy Spirit is moving in people's lives. Do you believe that? God is working in our lives. He wants to work in our lives every day. Every part of every day. That's why Paul, he told the church there in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. We should always have communication open with God at all times. Now God told those people there, they were to wait, the members of that church and His apostles, the disciples and the apostles, were to wait there in Jerusalem for His power. So many things that we call things of God today are done with people's power, are done with missionary power, are done with pastor's power. But God wants everything we do in life to be done with His power. His Holy Spirit is who can do a work in our lives, is who can lead you to a neighbor, is who can help you with a co-worker, is who can help you and give you an open door to reach someone when you meet that person, no matter where it might be. Now, not all the members of the church were present there on that Pentecost day when the Holy Ghost came down upon the church already that Jesus had established during His days upon earth. Not all the members were there. But those that were there were those that liked to pray and those that liked to serve. Not all the members, I'm sure, of your church right here tonight are here. But God brought you here. God had those people present for His power and for His working in their lives. When you're here present, are you present here for God's power? Are you wanting God's power upon your life? Or do we think it's just another Sunday, another message, another time being together in fellowship? But when we talk to God and when we have communication with God, we need to ask God every day for the power of His Holy Spirit upon our lives. Because when His power is not in us, someone's power is. It's either the power of the flesh, or it's the power that Satan is trying to get us to be involved in. Satan cannot indwell a Christian, a person saved by the blood of Christ. But he does influence our lives so much. He does it through things in the world, through our own flesh. God had them present because He wanted them to have His power. He had them there praying, and that's where they were. That's what they were doing. And we need to be praying all the time in our services, at our homes. And I'm not speaking about praying while you're driving with your eyes closed. By no means do that. But we still need to be having communication with God at all those times. And God had them being prepared, and He's having you being prepared today. Now, God was working in the members of that church, and He was working in the hearts of lost Jewish people too. Because long before that day of Pentecost, the Lord was working in people groups. You might say nations. I like to call them people groups. In all the nations of the earth. Because the Bible tells us that that day in Jerusalem, there were at least 16 different people groups present. And these were Jewish people. God had a reason for this. It began a long time before that day, there in Acts chapter 1 and 2, when the Lord came, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and when Peter got up and preached the gospel to those people. And it tells us all about it in chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. But God was and is working in, He's working behind the scenes, but He's working in our lives today. We don't hardly ever know exactly what the Lord is doing. So we can't see Him working except when we see results, when we see fruit. We don't know what He's doing behind the scenes. But we must recognize as Christians that He is working. Amen? Is He working in your life? Have you seen fruit through your life that He's working within you? Now, He started it in the lives of those people a long time before, but He's doing it still today and a long time after that Pentecost day. He's doing it in churches like your church and in churches all around the world that are preaching His Word. The thing to remember is that, Lord, are You working in my life? Are You working in my heart? He wants to be it. He wants to be doing it. And God is serious about His working. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's serious about His working? Now, God has proved His seriousness about His working in the plan of redemption by forgiving people. Do you know that His wonderful grace and His mercy, He gives those more and more, and we sure do not deserve it, but He gives us His mercy and His goodness to bring about repentance in our lives. And you may think, well, repentance is for the lost. But repentance also is for the saved. We need to be about searching our hearts and asking God to reveal to our conscious minds things that are not right in our lives. And so, you know, I know that as for Saul, he was a person that God worked in his life. But you know, God was showing, he was proving his seriousness, not only by forgiving, but he was showing his seriousness about the plan of redemption by the severity that he was going to allow in fulfilling his work. God is very serious about redemption. He's very serious about his work today. You know the story of Stephen. I'm sure all of you have studied it and read it many, many times. Well, the thing that happened to Stephen when Saul was standing by and holding the kappos, the clothes of the outer garments of those that were stoning Stephen, it didn't stop right there. Because in Acts chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, tells us that Saul, he made havoc of the church. There was only one church at the time, the one there in Jerusalem, entering into every house. He was searching out houses. I believe they were searching for the houses of the most faithful Christians, the ones they had heard about there in the city of Jerusalem. Let me ask you another question tonight. If you were living then, would your house have been broken into by Saul and his soldiers? He wanted to destroy the work of God in the lives of the most faithful. Now, he was doing that. And I want you to understand something right here. It was not Satan, that provoked that havoc in Saul's life. It was God that did that. It was God that sent Saul into people's houses there in the city of Jerusalem. That church was winning souls. We know that. There were 3,000 saved one day when Peter preached. There was 5,000 saved another day. And there were many that were saved daily, the Bible tells us, in Jerusalem. But he had said unto them, go you into all the world. But they stayed in Jerusalem. Now, he did that because he wanted his word to be taken by the people that were saved all over the then known world. And he's very, very serious about it. He was serious then, and he's serious now. And we need to be taking the only message where people can be saved, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people can be saved when they hear the gospel, when they believe. And if people do not hear the gospel, they cannot be saved. Once when I was visiting in that very man's life that I showed you at the beginning, Mr. Antonio Fernandez Costa, I went to his church again to visit, and I found out the next day, he told me that day he wanted me to come out to his job where he was working, cleaning a person's yard. And I went out there and picked up a big long knife that he was using, also another one, and I began cutting grass and weeds and things. And he said, Pastor, you preached in our church yesterday that if people do not hear the gospel, they cannot be saved. And I said, yes, Antonio, that's true. I didn't know exactly what he was getting at. He said, yes, Pastor, I believe it. I believe it ever since I've been saved. But I just remembered this morning, it hit me that my mother and daddy died 2 years before you came. And I realized this morning, I'm having joy of my salvation, but my mother and daddy are in hell. Because they never, ever heard the gospel, not even one time. The people of that church, they were not taking the gospel around the world. And God was very, very serious about it. You can read Acts chapter 11 and tell you what happened when the people began to flee from that town of Jerusalem. And they went everywhere, even into other countries, like into Syria. And they even got up to the city where Barnabas and others were working, up in Antioch in Syria. And that's where the name Christian first came from. Because those people, not apostles and not the leadership of that church in Jerusalem, but people like you, went there everywhere, and they were preaching the word wherever they went. And the people hated what was happening. The people of the cities and the government hated what was happening. And they called them what a name they did not like. They called them like the followers of Jesus, Christians. And today, people are not going to like, the world is not going to like it when you take the gospel. But it is the only message that can save. I realized that day that Anselmo Antonio told me that his father and mother that had died before I ever got to Brazil were in hell. I realized that I was not of that generation, but I can reach this generation. And that's what you and I need to be doing, is reaching this generation. I went to school and graduated in 1972, and from the Old Bible Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth in Arlington, Texas. I went to school with a young man by the name of Ephraim Zede. He was from Africa. He was a man that came from his own town in his own country in that continent to come and understand and prepare himself to go back to his people to reach them with the gospel. But over the years, especially his last year and then after he graduated, still wanting to go back, he got so involved in the things that he found and that he could get in the United States of America that he became uninterested in going back to his own people. He ended up not going back. He ended up getting even out of church. He got into the world, and I have not heard from him since a couple of years after we graduated. Listen, be interested. Ask God to use you every day to just give joy in your soul by being used of God to tell, preach, proclaim, publish the gospel where He tells you to go to. Because if you become uninterested, what might happen to you? What might happen to your church if you, as a church body and a church member, become uninterested in the work that matters most to God?